I'm gonna do like a tiny, like a tiny, tiny intro. Just okay.
Okay.
Hey guys, welcome to what I think is going to be the first episode of Text Me When You Get There. Yes, he's wow. The first one. I mean, you guys can kind of hear our guests, but this podcast is going to be a little bit different than Sunset Drive. If you guys have been following my social media, I just wanted to switch things up, make things more casual, more fun for me, less stressful for me. So on this new format, you're just going to get way more authentic versions of ourselves. Like, it's not going to be a script or anything. You're still going to get actors from TV shows and whatever that you're interested in and that I'm interested to talk to. But it's just not as scripted as it was prior. So today, are you like hiding from the camera?
No, I'm eating.
You're eating. Okay. Nugget. Okay. Eat your chicken nugget. So today we have on the podcast somebody from season one, technically, of Sunset Drive. We met last year around, honestly, over a year ago, because we met like March 2021. So friendship going strong. And we've definitely like become what I don't know how to do that.
Oh, I'll teach you.
Okay, great. So basically we have on the podcast my friend Larry Saperstein. Say hello to the whoa.
Hello. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I could hear it.
There's
a little
like
bit.
There's like a freaking like military chopper outside.
Oh my god, are you in danger?
I don't know.
America's scary right now.
I mean, I'm not in imminent danger, but I mean, I think we're all in a little bit of danger.
When, like, I called Larry before we started this podcast just to kind of like catch up. I'm in the middle of a work day, so I had to block my work day. Mm-hmm. And you told me, oh, I started therapy again. And I was like, oh my God, yay. And he was like,
well, I haven't started yet, but we're working on it. I am working on starting again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you tell the listeners why you felt like this, like urge to like, let me get therapy now?
Because the world is scary.
It is.
Because every single day, we are all living in existential fear that we're going to have to flee the country. So,
well, there's
at least I am. Maybe not everybody is dealing with that right now, but I certainly am.
Well, I think it's also like if people think like what's happening in the world won't affect. I mean, London's on fire. Like what?
Yep.
And then women don't have rights. Trans men don't have rights. Non-binary yep. people don't have rights. Conservative people are voting against marriage.
All
against,
of the people having rights.
Except for white people. Except for white people. So it's wow. Wow. What a time
and
to
like,
be alive.
What's crazy, though, is like as much as like, you know, I want to be like, this is all America's fault, like whatever. Like it's not only America that's like dealing with this. Like there are a bunch of other governments like right now that are all dealing with like, which is just, I find very interesting that like for some reason, like all of these governments are dealing with like these conservative kind of like backlash, you know what I mean? Like reversals of like progress.
Yeah. I think, I promise everybody listening, it is not going to be a political episode.
Yeah, I really don't want to do a political podcast.
But I will say,
I feel like every podcast that I've listened to recently, like in the episodes that have come out recently, it's like they do like 40 minutes of just like joking, and then like someone says like one thing that's like vaguely political, and then they talk for the rest of the podcast about like politics because they just like get like lost in the trap of like politics.
Yeah.
And then it makes me depressed. So I really, really don't want to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to tie this up in a
bow.
Getting
out of the way now.
Yeah. I'm going to tie this up in a real bow. The world is like super, super scary right now. So I would just honestly say stick to people you love, check up on each other, you know, text someone.
Get involved in your local community, honestly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's like one of the things. I was thinking, you know, that I just feel so helpless, you know, about all this stuff. And I feel like nothing that I say or do is going to like make any kind of change. Because at the end of the day, right, like I'm preaching to the choir, right? Like when I tweet or when I like make an Instagram post, like the people that follow me are already, you know, they follow me from a show that features a lot of gay and queer characters. And like, you know, the show definitely has a very specific stance. And the people that follow me from that show, I would imagine,
share
agree
an opinion
with,
yeah,
right, share. So I'm not like changing anybody's mind, you know what I mean, yeah, when I like tweet, yeah, or make a, you know, Instagram post, but like, which I'm not doing either of those things because I don't have the apps on my phone right now.
Yes, yeah, so you're doing like a, this cleanse, which could never.
I am, yeah. Yeah, it's just necessary for me right now. What we talk about in a sec, but mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, the best thing that I can do to actually like make a difference, and I am going to start looking into it, is like I want to be able to like volunteer like somewhere, you know, nearby, mm-hmm, like somewhere in my community that I'm actually going to be like making a difference. Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily know what that thing is going to be yet, but
TBD.
But I do, yeah.
I'm excited. Well, things get just, we're not going to make it political. We're going to make it so fast. 5 minutes has gone, yeah, by. Yeah. But welcome to the podcast. Today, obviously, you guys know everything that you basically need to know about Larry. Mm-hmm. We've touched on it. If you guys want to get more of a backstory on Larry's like career and what he's doing in high school,
go to my Wikipedia page.
Wikipedia page, LinkedIn.
Yeah, just type in Larry Saperstein on Google, you'll find it.
Wait, Larry, we should have like referred them to like the episode we filmed last year.
Or you could do that.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, we were much more awkward with each other, but
yeah, that was like the first time we had ever talked, I think.
Yeah, and it was like this weird, it wasn't weird, but we were obviously in the position of like, you were doing work, you were like promoting, mm-hmm, the show, and I was doing what I thought at the time was like fun podcast times, and quickly I realized, yeah, oh, I'm a like pop culture like journalist person now, which,
yeah, you had a journalism degree.
I had, honey. I had a bachelor's degree.
You had a BA in journalism, and you were using it.
I was using that crap. I really was.
She said, "Let's play a game." She said,
at the end, who? Me after.
She said, which character said this?
Wait, you remember the game?
Was that the game?
That was fully the game. That's always the game.
Oh, the game is, let's play a game of who said it.
And
that's always the game.
And it's always the same lines. I am so sorry. Yeah.
It's always, did I just join a cult?
And it's always like me asking like Oprah questions, like trying to be deep and insightful at the end. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you want to promote? Like after I just like pick your brain about like life, like life.
So where problems. Can we follow you?
Where can we follow you? But we're not going to talk about any of like really that stuff. We might skim over some of these topics because that's, mm-hmm, a big part of who you are. But I want to talk about, so when we recorded that episode in March, it came out in May, but we recorded it in March. Fun, okay, fact, BTS. When we recorded that podcast, I want to know, like, what was your impression? Because I've become close friends with a lot of people that have come on the podcast, and I'm always curious, because I've done interviews, too, where I was the interviewer, and you always leave it with, like, a little bit of an impression of that interviewer. Was I giving you, like, yeah, oh, this is homemade. This is homemade. No.
I mean, I thought you were like very put together for like the podcast. I don't really fully remember if I had an impression of you like when we did the podcast, but I do remember the first time we met in person.
Yeah.
The only thing, I was so distracted by like how tall you are.
I was just like,
you are so tall. Like, yeah. I literally, we hung out probably for like maybe 2 hours, like the first time that we ever met.
Yeah.
And literally the entire time I was like,
he's tall.
You're so tall.
Yeah.
You're so tall.
Yeah. I remember we went to Chipotle the first time we,
yeah,
hung out.
We did.
And I like, we didn't.
And you like couldn't fit in my car.
We used you're my like, car the first like, time.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. I picked you up from your apartment.
I just remember one time where like I was driving and your knees were like on your, like in your chest.
That's when we went to see, I'm Glad My Mother Died with Julia and
Seb.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, the first time I met Larry, and this is like the recurring theme, I have a hard time sometimes understanding what Larry's thinking or feeling. And
don't we all?
Don't we all? But I think now I do. But at the time, like, I'm surrounded by people that, like, I can easily read their facial expressions. And
I just, like, think that is so crazy that you think that. Because literally every single person in my life is like, I know exactly what you're thinking. Like everybody's always like, you're like so bad at like hiding like
your emotions,
your thoughts. Yeah.
I will say like, it's just your, like when you're like in work mode, I will say that whenever you're like,
yes,
in work mode, you are super work mode. And
I do have that.
Yeah.
I do. Like when I was in high school, when I was in high school, my friend, my best friend, her name is Savannah. We, you know, did theater together. We did like musical theater together, yeah, the high school shows.
Yeah.
And our senior year, she like, we were playing opposite each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always be like, she was always be like, I'm just like so scared of you during rehearsal. And like, why? And she's like, because like whenever rehearsal starts, you like get into like rehearsal mode.
Yes.
You have like work mode and you're, yes, like so serious.
That is so accurate.
Which is true. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that I'm like rude. Like,
no. It's just like, it's like when you go on a set and like, like those specific actors who like you hang out with them off set and they're like super bubbly and the personality's coming through. And when they're on set or they're doing work, they're here to get the work done. And I feel like,
yeah,
you just have that same kind of like, I'm like, you know, buttoned up, professional, trying to get this ish done. So when we did the podcast where, you know, I did talk with a lot of different people and some were more like, I'm just here to like have fun and talk about anything, and some were more like, I'm here to like really promote what I'm doing. I guess like you were one of the first ones who was more like focused on like getting the promotion across, which like is,
yeah,
great.
I mean, it's just like such a weird like the sort of like promo like machine, mm-hmm, is just so crazy because like, I don't know if people know this. I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but I'm going to share it because, okay, I don't think it's that big of a surprise.
Exclusive.
Basically, like, we get, like, so you know, every, the season is, like, they announce the air date, right?
Yeah.
And then they're, like, okay, so usually it's about, like, a month before the season comes out, we're gonna, like, do, like, press, right?
Yeah.
And basically, you get this, like, big email, and sometimes they do, like, a full meeting, like a Zoom meeting,
like
with like,
because
there's like a team, there's like a press team,
the Disney
like,
press team,
honestly for every show,
yeah,
like, yes, for Disney, but like honestly for every show that you've ever seen probably,
yeah,
like there is like a team of PR people who like decide what
you do,
you're going to talk about,
yeah,
like in your press stuff, right?
Yeah.
So like they like literally will break it down for you and they'll be like, okay, like here's what we're telling people about like this season, right? Because like they don't want to release any spoilers, right? Like, and it's like, okay, so here's what we can say and here's what we can't say. So you're not allowed to tell people that like in episode, you know,
8 10,
yeah, episode 8,
yeah,
like Gina moves away, like,
yeah,
you're not allowed to tell people that, or you know, in episode 8 Lucas Grabeel, like we're not announcing that, right? But like,
yeah,
we are announcing that like Big Red works in a pizza shop or like whatever, you know what,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then it's like you those were from two completely different seasons, but you get the point, like,
yeah,
like it's, you know, so it's like I personally would always get very nervous that like I would wind up like sharing things that I wasn't supposed to share.
Oh, pull a Tom Holland.
So like, oh, did he do that?
Oh, Tom Holland. You don't know? Tom Holland is like the king of spoilers.
Girl, I don't know anything about anything.
Yes, you. Okay, moving on. Continue.
I don't know anything about celebrity. I don't know anything about celebrities. Like, you're always like, oh my gosh, you know this person? You know, like,
you work in this industry. But Larry will be able to reiterate what happened at 2 minutes 46 of any RuPaul's Drag Race season you have ever
That's
watched.
True. No.
Yeah.
That is not true.
I've seen you do it.
No. I have queens that I like.
Yes.
And the queens that I like, I know a lot about.
Yes. True. All right.
And it's not every season.
Well, almost. You're able
it's
to,
certain
like,
seasons.
You can kind of, like, scope. Like, we can go on, like, what was it, HBO? And, like, you're able to kind of, like, scroll through and be like, oh, it's somewhere around here, what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Yes.
I can do that.
Okay. So to reiterate that Larry's saying...
Because there's iconic moments, but not Untucked, though. Like, I don't know the Untucked...
The Untucked situation. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But to come back to Press Junkets, yeah, so I think that's pretty universal. Disney, Netflix concept, guys. We can talk about this now because I'm not doing any more Press Junkets, and this is not a Press Junket venture. But you have a PR team dedicated to your show, no matter what the network... Yeah. You're on. So Netflix does that. Hulu does that. I mean, Hulu is Disney. But Netflix will, Amazon Prime, whatever. And then once, correct me if I'm wrong, Larry, but once the actor has fulfilled all of their engagements to the network of what press they're doing, then sometimes their own PR, like personal PR team, will be able to filter through offers and decide what you're taking part in.
I mean, they pretty much happen at the same time.
Oh, really? They don't give you guys a
break? Yeah, like... What?
They don't really give you guys a break.
No, it's not like you have to, like, do stuff for the network before you do stuff, like, for yourself. But, like, it's just that, like, when you have, like, a personal, like, PR or, like, publicist, like, you're paying for that out of pocket. Right. And, like, when, like, you have the show that's doing its PR, like, obviously you don't pay for that. Like, that's just, like... the network, whatever. But like, so like, but the difference is that like the network, like PR people, like they want to sell the show, right? Yeah. Like their job is to like get people to watch the show.
And the agency's the actor.
And like, yeah. And like, and they, and like, and yeah. And if, you know, an a PR opportunity, like doesn't make sense for me to be there.
Yeah.
Then like they won't have me go.
Oh, that, you know, makes what I mean? Sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like my personal, like if I had a personal like PR
agency,
publicist,
yeah.
Then like they're looking for opportunities like specifically for me. And if it helps to promote the show for that opportunity, then like that's great. And if not, then not.
That makes
sense.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes total sense. But yes, so we met through I think Disney helped set up our interview, but also your team helped set it up. And that was really fun. And then we like vibed from that point on because of Colleen.
You were who, like, I still haven't met.
Okay. Larry, well, I've seen Colleen.
I think Anthony's afraid that when he introduces me to Colleen, I won't be his friend anymore.
Honestly, very real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
it's not off the table.
You know, it's not an out of nowhere fear. I mean,
I know. I think when we met, she was pregnant, and then when I went to LA, she was like at the end of her pregnancy. I remember.
Yeah, and then she had twins.
Yeah, I remember bringing her like fries, and we like hung out on the porch at her house because obviously safety at that time was a way bigger concern. And then when I came back to LA in November, she had her twins in the NICU, so that didn't make sense then. And then I came back in March and she had newborn babies. So
I'm just hearing like excuses and more excuses and more excuses.
I think they're valid excuses.
Could have done a drive-by. You could have, you know,
could have
planned a little extra like porch meeting.
Okay.
I don't know.
But you say that I hit you up about Olivia's concert in New York and you didn't go with me. So we're like, I think we're pretty fair.
You weren't in New York.
I would have. It's a 6-hour drive. I would have been there like that.
It's a 6-hour drive?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I've done it. I've done it a couple times. But yeah, so we met vibing because of Colleen. And then I remember you like just like saying, do you live in LA? Because you were moving to LA at the time from New York.
Yeah.
And I think like at that time I was like, oh, he probably wants to hang out. So I took that into account and I was like, okay, when I'm in LA, to hang out with Larry. And then we followed each other on socials.
That was a really big assumption.
Ouch. What the heck? Well, okay,
she said, he probably wants to hang out.
Oh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's using
But did
me.
I say it? Did I say I want to hang out?
You would never. No. You would never.
No.
You would never go up to a person and be like, we should hang out. You would go over DM.
That's not true.
You would go
I would never go up to you.
Oh my God. I need to reevaluate some things. Okay, hold on. Let me recover from what just happened. Not me tearing up. It's the ring light, I promise.
Yeah, there's something in my
eye. Something in my eye.
It's too strong.
But wait, we're going to get to the good stuff because this is something we've never talked about and I want to talk about it. After Larry and I just connected over DM, we went on with our lives. Your season 2 of High School Musical, the musical series, aired. I interviewed the rest of your cast. Life went on. Things happened. And then I want to say around August of last year, I went on a dating app. Now, I want to dive into that. I don't like dating apps. Absolutely hate them. I don't know how you kind of like them.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel. Like I don't know. I don't really feel like
any side away
quality, but like, I don't know.
Okay, fair.
You know,
I will continue the train of thought.
That was really
that was a really conclusive answer.
I guess I don't really have an opinion on them right now.
Okay,
I'm not really using them right now, so I don't really.
I will say I don't like dating apps whatsoever, just because I feel like there's so many people who I like on those apps because of pictures, but then I would meet them in real life and I'd be like, eh, or vice versa, people who I would be on the app like, eh, but like. In real life, I think would be pretty cool. And Hinge, mm-hmm. if you guys don't, like there's like categories of dating apps. So there's like Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and Raya. We're like sifting through, like Tinder, I think for America is way more hookup-y, right?
Is it different in other countries?
I think because we don't have as many.
I did hear this.
Well,
I have heard that like in other countries, Tinder is like people go on Tinder and like get married from Tinder.
Oh, Canada. I mean, Quebec. I can speak from my own province. Like,
so like people on Tinder in Quebec are like looking for a husband.
Like, yeah, like long-term relationship. And then there's other people.
That's crazy.
But I think you can easily tell from somebody's profile if they're just like looking for something casual or looking, but anyway, I digest. Yeah. I think Tinder for America is way more hookup-y, and then Bumble and Hinge are like either friendship or relationships and a little bit more like commitment. And then Raya, which I got on last year, is for quote unquote what they I think set out to be a celebrity dating app. And it is true, there are public figures.
Wait, can I tell a story about Raya?
Please.
Okay. So I signed up for Raya 2.5 years ago.
And how's the approval coming?
I signed up for Raya in January 2020.
Okay.
Maybe it was February 2020. Okay.
You should say March.
And no, it was before the pandemic.
Okay,
it was
before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic.
Okay.
Okay. I know it was before the pandemic.
Okay. Good to know.
Because we were in Salt Lake. We were filming season 2 before the pandemic. Okay.
Who do you think you would find on Raya in Salt Lake City?
Well, on Raya, you can be anywhere.
Yeah, it's international. Very true. Continue.
So multiple people, some were in the cast, were like, oh, don't worry. Like, we'll like approve you. Like, you can just like put me down and like we'll approve you and like it'll be great and like you'll be on Raya and like whatever. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I had a verified Instagram account at the time. I was newly verified, but I was verified. And I don't think I had 100,000 followers, but like I had like just under that, right?
Okay. Following. You had a decent following.
Yeah. I had enough to be on Raya. Hello?
Why are you saying that? You think I should not be on Raya?
No. I'm saying if you're on Raya,
you should be like, on Raya.
Like,
which is fair.
If Raya is based on like the number of social media followers that you have,
it's connections. Like, okay, like give
well,
you guys context.
Stupid.
I'll give you guys context to people listening who don't know what Raya is, which I'm assuming is a lot of people. Raya is a celebrity network dating app. So you need to be like connected in order, like with people who are already on the platform in order to jump on. It's funny you said that some of your cast members, because I have seen some of your cast members on there.
Okay, so I got on the waiting list. Okay, my Raya was not approved.
Everybody gets waitlisted. Okay.
For how long though? How long were you waitlisted
okay,
for?
Okay, so I'll explain how I got approved. Maybe you can take some notes. So I got approved on Raya because I not that way, but you know, like I suck at date. Well, I don't like dating and I'm ambitious and my field of interest is not aligned. Like there's not a lot of people who are interested in what I'm doing in where I'm living. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was interested in going on the app and I got waitlisted just like you. And then I was on a photo shoot with one of my talents from Fanjoy, Adeline Morin. Shout out to her because I owe it to her, I think. And she was like, you need to get on Raya. And she's like, you have my phone number, so like I'll recommend you. So Adeline was one of my recommendations. And then also my other friend, Alexa Losey, who's also like a lifestyle influencer. She is, from my understanding, she knows somebody high up at Raya. And so whenever she submits her recommendations, they kind of just like go through instantly. That's kind of my understanding. So she was like, I recommended you. 2 weeks gone by, mm-hmm. didn't hear anything. Then I get notifications from Raya, which I didn't even know I had on my phone anymore. And I opened the app and there was like, it's approved. And then I was a dumbass because when I got on that app, I started like screenshotting things. I'm not even going to lie. I was just like because I just wanted to share
did
with.
Did you get blocked?
No.
Oh.
I did it once. Me exaggerating. So yeah, I screenshotted one person because I was like, wait, because you know you find out things on these apps that you don't necessarily know until you're on these apps. And so I took it one screenshot, and then they were like, warning. I don't think they give you like a really big warning.
It like knows. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it knows you take a screenshot. It goes like it just shows your IP number. So I think it's like if anything gets leaked from that and it gets reported, they're able to trace back the IP that took the screenshot that got leaked. If that makes sense.
That's tea. Okay, so can I tell you?
Go ahead.
So then I got on the waiting list.
Yeah.
In February of 2020.
Yeah.
Do you know when I was accepted to Raya?
Never.
I was accepted to Raya in April of 2022. It took two full years. It took a two full years and a goddamn pandemic. And an election.
An election?
For me to get approved to Raya.
And
then I opened it up and they were like, $20 a month, please. And I was like, no, I don't want to pay that.
You didn't pay it? Yeah, it's $20 a month. I think they're like,
no,
if you're
I guess
broke,
I could still sign up. I'm still like accepted, I guess, but like I just don't know if like the quality of people on Raya is like all that much better than like what I would find on like Tinder.
I will say the people on Raya, like this might sound stupid, but to me the people on Raya like are just more aligned professionally on where I want to head. And that can be dangerous because it can come off like social climbery and like some people just going on dates to kind of get like further in their careers. But I've honestly just found it like super inspiring of seeing people like professional dancers, professional like people who go to Harvard in law and just like people who are working really hard towards what they aspire to do. And that's a turn on. So, yeah. Raya.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. They're like, you can find love,
and
but not if you're broke.
What if you pay $120 for the year and then you like find someone within like a month?
Well, hasn't happened to me. So we're still.
I mean, me neither.
We're still here. But when, okay, going back, because we're like telling a story. Larry and I are really bad with tangents. So you're going to hear like one story and like 20 micro
Isn't
stories.
Isn't that what a podcast is, though?
Yeah, but I've done like the scripted, like formatted for so long that now I'm like, oh my God, am I off script? So Larry and I, well, I got on a dating app. I was in LA for a really short amount of time for a project that didn't end up panning out. So let's not talk about it. But I was in LA for a short period of time and I went on Hinge. Now on my
and who is the person that said you should be careful of this project because it might not happen the way you want it to?
Why are you twisting the knife? Why are you twisting the knife on my little podcast?
And you said no. You said no.
No, you made me cry. No. You made me cry on Sarah's couch.
I did not make you cry.
You made me cry.
You started to cry. But I didn't. Because
I was overwhelmed and you were just like, you kept going. Anyway.
No, that is not what happened. Yeah.
Okay, but like, okay, I want everybody to see, like, it wasn't a bad thing. It was more so.
Yeah, yeah. You're out here telling all the girls.
No.
Larry made you cry.
Larry made me cry. No, it was. I had been going through it.
It was very. It was a bonding experience. It was not me making you cry. It was a very cathartic, emotional experience for both of us.
Well, if you're gonna yell at me, I'm gonna cry. But
I did not yell at you.
Okay. Wait. So. I need to explain. Well, I'm gonna briefly. It wasn't anything bad.
Rude.
He wasn't making
this
me cry. No, he wasn't making me cry for like a bad thing. It was more so I was being. I don't think the word used is the right term, but I was being taken advantage of, and
yes.
I think my friend Sarah, who if you follow my socials, you know who she is. We were on her couch in her living room. And it was just like some tough love. I think that was more that what it was. It was just like
I was just trying to like you just like were not able to see in that moment that you were being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I was able to see that you were being taken advantage of.
Everybody could
not,
see that I was being taken advantage of.
And you did not want to believe.
I know.
You did not want to believe that you were being taken advantage of. And yeah.
Well, because like, okay, it's like to everybody listening. I can't legally explain exactly what happened, but it was like somebody handing you like your most enticing, your most delicious dream, but making it like impossible to reach. And in the process, you're just kind of like,
and you have to jump through all these
all these fucking hoops. So that was a whole shebang. But where were we?
Yeah,
where were we? So I got on this.
Anyway.
Wait. I was in LA for this short period of time. And I got on Hinge because you can like look for friends or relationships on there. And I found Larry, and you had the worst profile. Not because of pictures, because of your prompts. Okay. Hinge, you need to like.
What?
Yes. I stand by what
I
said.
I get matches all the time.
Because everybody wants to screw
actually,
the Disney star.
I deleted it.
Really?
No, some people don't even know who I am, and I like that better.
I think that's I agree that might be better, but
I deleted it. I deleted Hinge though.
I deleted also Hinge, but we like I like sent you because your prompt. Okay, the reason I'm saying Larry's account was bad is on Hinge you have like these prompts so you can have like conversation starters, and your prompt was talk to me about roller coaster trivia.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you think that is weird, then you don't have to match with me on Hinge. But some people like that.
I want to talk to those people.
Okay, I did.
And?
You want to know why? Because they messaged me and they said, oh my gosh, that's so cool that you like roller coasters. I'm like, great, you're somebody that I want to date. Let's go to Six Flags.
And okay, I just want people.
If you don't like roller coasters, no. Look, you can't just no. If you don't like roller coasters and you don't want to talk to me about roller coasters and you think that's weird, then you can swipe left.
No,
that's
like
that is your journey.
Larry, you are a talented actor, performer, writer.
Yeah, and
all the
I don't
things.
Need everybody
and
to know. I don't.
On
I don't
the prompt, we're talking about roller coasters.
Yeah,
I was thrown off.
Because my acting and my career is not my only part of my life. I have other parts of my life. I have other passions.
I've known you for like a year and a half.
I've,
you've never mentioned roller coasters, except when you wanted to interview people.
I literally went to Six Flags 2 days ago. I have a season pass to Six Flags. I went to Six Flags 2 days ago to ride the new Wonder Woman roller coaster that opened less than a week ago because I wanted to ride it within the first week that it was open. And you know what? I waited for a front row seat. I got a front row seat. Okay. And I had the time of my life.
That's sweet. I would have not done that with you. But I'm glad you had
fun.
Yeah,
that's why we didn't date. That's why we're not dating.
That's why we're not dating.
Okay.
But that prompt was so funny. I remember just laughing. Okay, so I want to.
So it made you laugh.
Okay, I want to.
So it made you laugh.
Yeah.
So made you laugh.
You made me laugh.
So made you
laugh.
It made
me laugh.
Okay.
I'm not going
to
lie.
So made you laugh. And what are you trying to do on a dating app, on a dating app profile? You're trying to, oh my gosh, haha, that's funny. That's cool. That's intriguing. I want to know more about this.
I knew you, so it was funny. But I think if I would just like scroll and see like a roller coaster, I'd be like, what?
Well, you didn't see a roller coaster. I just said, you know, I know things about roller coasters, which I do. That's true. It's truth.
What a turn on.
What, do you want me to lie?
No.
I also like pineapple on pizza, and I put that on my profile too.
Okay, controversy. Yeah, you did. I do remember that. And we started talking there, jokingly, I think, right? What was your thought process at that time? Because we have never talked about this.
I think that was before we met in person.
True.
I think your timeline is messed up.
I know. That's what I said. Like, this was before we met. I was like, I went to LA just for a brief moment before we met at all. And we.
Oh. Like. Right. Okay. So we're not talking about the time that you were on the couch.
No. This was like just a side tangent.
Oh, you're at it. Okay. Yeah. No. I'm the type of person that I match with my friends on dating apps. If I see my friend on a dating app, I will 150% swipe right on them, which I know some people really, really, really don't like. But like, in my opinion, I think it's like, we're all doing this stupid thing. Yeah. Why are you embarrassed about it? Why don't you want your friends to see?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you want your friends to see that you're like, I'm here too.
We're out
here.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
So like, yeah. So I will always swipe right on my friends on a dating app. So, yeah, that's what I did.
I was thinking the same thing. Okay, glad we're on the same wavelength. And then we started talking, but it was more like we just like continued our Instagram conversation to that app, essentially.
Yeah, did I have your? I don't know if I had your number yet.
You didn't. And then you were like, "Oh, you're in LA. Like, let's hang out." And then I was like, "Oh, I'm here. I'm leaving like tomorrow." And then we exchanged phone numbers, and then I went to LA. So I went to LA like the plan.
And then I met you and I thought you were tall.
Yeah. The plan to go to LA at that time was to kind of just like live life. I didn't know I was going to spend a month over there. And I did. And then first thing I did when I landed is I hit up Larry because I'm a reliable friend. And that I am.
He said, what friends do I need in LA?
I'm so glad you said need and not have.
I need the quirky ones. I need a quirky one that likes roller coasters.
You read my mind. That I literally.
Were you already friends with Sarah at the time?
We had met on the pod. Like that episode has never seen the light of day because I literally recorded it and then left for LA. But we were like texting like phase, and I landed in
but
LA.
But you had never met in person.
No, I did. I met you before I met Sarah in person.
Oh, I see how it is.
What do you mean?
Okay.
What?
So he hangs out with me and then he hangs out with Sarah and now he's all of a sudden better friends with Sarah.
Okay, your insecurities are showing, babe. Like it is not that deep. I landed with the first person I texted, and this is the part that I think everybody would enjoy the story of that day. So that day I was driving my great aunt's Lexus around LA. So I had a little car, I had a vehicle, I had travel. And I went to pick up Larry and I was like, I'm hungry. Let's go to Chipotle. We don't have Chipotle in Canada. So I was very excited to get some Chipotle. And then you said that I was tall, which I feel like this is the common consensus whenever I meet people in real life. I'm 6'5". I'm not the tallest one of my family. So to me, I'm not that tall. But
to everyone else, you're tall.
To everyone else, I'm tall. And we went to Chipotle, and it felt like I was taking my child to get some food.
Oh, my God.
Is that?
You're so mean.
I'm not mean. I'm 6'5". You're like, what, 5'6"?
I am not 5'6".
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
So the exact same thing.
I'm almost 5'8".
Oh my God, don't get too tall. But it really did look, no, honestly, it looked fine. We went to Chipotle and then we like spilled the tea. We talked about life. And then we went by your poolside and we talked for like maybe 2 hours or three. And then I remember leaving. We're going to get to the juicy stuff. So I left that hangout and then I called my friends in the car on my way back because we were on different time zones. And then they were like, oh, okay. Like you hang out with like Larry. And I was like, yeah, like it was really cool. And then they're like, okay, so you guys like matched on Hinge and he wanted you guys to hang out. And now you hung out. They're like, Anthony, this is a date. And I was like, I'm very aloof. I'm very aloof to most things. Like when people say like, oh, this person had a crush on you. I'm like, nope.
Is that the right word? Is aloof the right word?
What word would you
in
use?
In this situation.
Or what word do you think would be appropriate?
I'm looking up the word aloof.
Like,
aloof.
I'm stupid.
Not aloof means not friendly or forthcoming, cool and distant. Aloof means that you're like, that you are like, ugh, I'm like better than you. I don't want to talk to
you. Oh, then that's definitely not the word. Thank you for correcting me.
No, you're not. You were not aloof.
Thank you for
you were oblivious.
I was oblivious.
Or you felt like you were oblivious.
Yeah, because I'm oblivious to this stuff. I'm really bad with dating. I'm really bad with that side.
You were
of
not
life.
Oblivious, but you maybe felt like you were oblivious.
Yeah, at that time I was just like, wait. And I hold my friends' opinions to like a really high esteem. My friends are my family, so I was like, wait, maybe you're right. And then I went back to my aunt's place, and then I was going to Crumble Cookies. And one of my friends was picking me up. I can't do that. Stop.
Crumble.
Like,
I'm not really good at it.
I'm
not really. There are people that are better than that. You have to like, okay. You have to like push your tongue up to like the roof of your mouth and like put pressure on it and like suck all of the air out of the space between like your tongue and the roof of your mouth and then just like let it go.
That's not happening.
Well, that was bad.
Well,
and like the more like flat your tongue is, then the more like
okay,
it'll be, you know.
I'll practice tonight. Thank you.
But I'm not really that good at it. Like, there's other people that are way better at it.
Tutorial.
And also, I'm pretty sure the tongue pop is like a thing of the past anyway.
Is it? I don't know. I'm totally out of gay culture. I feel like I'm not catching up at all.
I don't know for sure, but I think the tongue pop is like slightly in the past.
It had its time. But yes, so I was in the car with my friend for going to Crumble, and I'm a very paranoid person. If something is bothering me in my head, I'm going to be talking about it until the issues is resolved. So I was in that call, in that car, riding to Crumble, and my friend was just like, just ask him. And I was like, you can't just ask someone if it was a date, because then if it was, you look like an asshole. And if it wasn't, then that's just straight up embarrassing. So I don't know how many times I drafted that text, Larry, that I sent to you, but maybe 20 times. Because I was like, I don't want to be rude, but I and also don't want like, to like, I don't like, I was like.
Is it a date?
No, I believe I said, hey, so like I was told that maybe this was a date. And I said, didn't really know. Something wrong those lines. And I was like, if it was, sorry, like it was a pretty shitty date. I was like very, because I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to be anything. But I also felt like it was just very platonic. So I was like, I don't know what's going on here. What was your thoughts when you got that text message? Let's unpack.
Honestly, I don't remember.
Wow.
Like, I remember, I honestly forgot about that until you're bringing it up right now, which is awful.
I mean, I forgot about it too,
but
until we had to do this episode, I was like, we need to talk about this because that was funny.
I was just like, oh, no, it wasn't a date.
Yeah, that was basically it. No, you said something.
Because also in the text, you were like, I don't think it was a date. So I was like, yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, something along like, well, yeah, I said it, so it
wasn't,
I said it nicer.
I wasn't very like.
I said it nicer. I said
no, no. I'm not. I'm paraphrasing.
Okay,
calm down.
Okay,
calm down.
Whoa,
deep breaths.
All right, I am calm.
No, yeah. You said something along the lines of like, I don't think it was a date, and I was like,
but if it was,
me neither.
Yeah. And then you said something along the lines of like, not me exposing you, but you said something along the lines of like. You're like super cute and super nice, but like also you don't live here. And it was just like, I think.
Yeah, you don't.
I think we're friends.
You still don't.
And I'm very okay with that. Don't. I'm very okay with that at the moment.
Lucky.
And that was the end of that. And then, I feel like we had a really cool summer last year. I will say that. We hung out quite a lot last year and it was a lot of fun.
Cool for the summer.
Okay, Demi.
Cool for the summer. That's the only part of that song I know. The summer.
Paradise. That one.
Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I did last summer.
I can talk about.
I know
some
what
things
you
did
last summer.
What?
Look me in the eyes, my lover. I know what you did last summer.
I'm now realizing why you don't have a podcast.
Tell me where you've been.
I I know.
You don't think this is what people want?
I'm sure people clicked on this video
on the
and they were like hoping for
they're hoping for all the tea. And you know what? I'm not gonna give it to them.
Okay, what tea do you have? Oh, you have some.
He's like, what tea?
What tea?
What tea?
What tea?
Have you ever been loosely adjacent to drama?
Drama, get it?
Never. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be one of those drama celebrities.
You're not. You were just a bystander.
I was an innocent bystander.
You were really just an innocent bystander. Not your fault there was a car crash. You're like the guy on the news. After there was a car crash, and you're just like, yeah, crazy. And then, like, cut. That's it.
I'm glad we're past that.
I'm glad too. So, not this summer. Last summer, I went to LA. I will say what was really fun. We did a bunch of cool stuff. We went to go see Jeanette McCurdy's comedy show. I Got My Mom Died.
That was like in the fall. I actually feel like our friendship was more like in the fall because...
No, that was September.
Fall?
September's fall? I thought it was considered summer.
I mean, yes, but like colloquially it's fall.
Colloquially? Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In the community, in the culture.
The common understanding is, yeah, it's fall.
We went to a Halloween party, fall.
No, start beginning. We went.
That's all we did.
No.
We went to Cane's.
Many fall. Times. We went to Scott Hoying's birthday party.
That was in October, fall.
I think that was September.
Or maybe it was in late September.
Yeah. Because I flew into LA on August 31st and then stayed for like 4 weeks. So
I'm like,
but yes.
I'm gonna find out.
We went to Scott Hoying. I was your one.
Yeah, it was in September. It was in September.
Yeah. I remember that day because I was in downtown LA. No. I was somewhere in LA. With your best friend, Steven.
We met Garrett Watts.
But
that was like a highlight of my life.
Honestly, I would not have been able to go up to Garrett Watts if we hadn't taken a shot or two.
Yeah, we did take a shot. But I was also driving, so I didn't really drink.
You took two shots and that's it. And we left like 3 hours later, so you were fine.
I don't think I took two shots. I think one. I took maybe a shot.
Yeah, because we were sitting
and then waited like 3 hours.
Yeah,
and then
solid
left.
Safe driving, y'all.
Don't drink and drive.
No, exactly. but that was fun. That was so fun. Honestly, that felt like a fever dream to me.
I want to meet him again. You connected with Garrett more than I did.
Well, I think because like I was.
Well, because you're more in the YouTuber space than I am.
Well, I knew about the YouTuber space. I wasn't working at Fanjoy though at that time.
No, but you were working with Colleen.
I was. I remember just going. That day was hectic because I just came back from Steven, which is Larry's best friend and neighbor, from Madison Reyes' photo shoot where he did the makeup. And then we had to drive back in traffic. I wanted to go back home and change, but I couldn't. So I was wearing her merch and a pair of shorts. And that was not it. That was not it. You were like, you had like the whole outfit on and I was looking like a hobo.
I had like a somewhat cute outfit on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh my God. You know who else was there? I mean, you know this, but
Lipstick Nick
saying this. Lipstick Nick was there, but I don't really, I mean, she's great, but I don't
Queer
really
Eye.
Have an opinion on her. Yes. Freaking Bobby Burke.
Bobby Burke was there. Did you introduce? I introduced myself to Bobby Burke. Did you?
No, what here? Yeah, I did. Wait, here's what I loved about Bobby Burke. Ready?
Yeah.
So he was like, so he's like, okay, you like go up to him and you say like, hi, like, you know, it's so cool to meet you, whatever. And he's like, yeah, nice to meet you too. And then like, you know, he asks you like one question. He's like, yeah, like, how do you know Scott or whatever? And I'm like, oh, we just met, like, you know, he invited me to his party. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, it was really nice to meet you. And then he walks away. I think it's such a boss move. He like knew that everybody wanted to talk to him at this party. And so instead of like, he was just like, okay, I'm just going to keep these conversations short.
But he was nice.
And when I'm ready for these conversations to end, I will make these conversations end and I will walk away. And that was tea.
That was tea. I mean, he wasn't like, I don't want it to come across as people. He was mean. He was so nice.
No,
and when
he
you're
wasn't
talking to him,
no,
he's giving you like,
it was like such a serve.
It was a serve. But when he's talking to
he
you,
was just like, he was like, well, it was really nice to meet you.
Because I've gone to parties with like public figures where like whenever they're talking to you, they're always looking for the next more interesting person to talk to. And he wasn't like that. He was really like in the moment, like, hey, like, what do you do? Like, how do you know Scott? He was super nice. We met a lot of really cool people at that party. And that I was dressed in Madison Reyes. Like, there was, like, the Grammys, the Madison Reyes merch, mm-hmm. my Abercrombie and Fitch shorts.
Yeah, the three Grammys, the view of the Hollywood Hills.
The view of the Hollywood Hills and me looking like...
The off-limits hot tub.
It was off-limits. But with me in my Old Navy outfit. Honestly, it was pretty cute. I'm not mad.
They catered Taco Bell
they
for that
did!
Party.
And I was talking to the catering girls, and they were just like, yeah, this is, like, a thing in L.A. And I was like...
That is... genius.
That was so smart. I ate so much of that Taco Bell.
They were like instead of doing anything like crazy, we're just gonna have like a mountain of Taco Bell.
But it wasn't even like Taco Bell catering. It was this catering business that Scott specifically asked, I want Taco Bell at my party. So every time they would run out, somebody from that catering team would just go to Taco Bell and get more.
Oh, that's tea.
I know. What a serve. Honestly, so that's expensive. Tea. And there was a bodyguard in the front. I was like, okay.
There was a guest list.
There was a bouncer.
Well, they didn't like check anything. They were just like let you in. But like
no, they checked who you were, but they didn't like we thought there might be like COVID test stuff happening at that time because it was like that transitional period.
It was like the weird time when I was like, should I be wearing a mask?
Yeah. And in Canada, it was like fully locked down. So it was like so weird for me to go to LA and like masks were off. But that was such a fun night.
Honestly, to this day, that is like the most like bougie thing that I've done. Well, Same. Maybe not the most bougie thing, but like that is like one of the most like stereotypical like Hollywood like. Things that I've because I don't get invited to like parties and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
like I don't have those like friends like that
because like parties like that, especially with Scott, who's so like highly successful in his field. I feel like you don't necessarily like you'll get invited to like ragers, but you won't get invited to like a party with close personal friends.
No, I don't even like, get invited to ragers.
Oh well,
like I want to go to like an influencer like party.
You do not.
I know that I like don't, but like I just want to experience it once.
Okay,
I want to see what it's like.
I'll take you.
Like you'll help me meet Colleen.
Colleen will not be at an influencer rager ever.
No, I'm saying you're making empty promises.
I'm not making empty promises.
He says I'll take you. He says, oh, I'll introduce you to Colleen.
Listen, mm-hmm. every Christmas we have mm-hmm. a Fanjoy Christmas party and creators come and we invite all of our roster. So next Christmas, you'll be my plus one.
I want to go. Okay, I want to go to like J-Lo's Halloween party. You know what I mean?
We were supposed to go to Chrissy Teigen.
Were we?
Well, I was, and I wanted to invite my friends, but I only had a one plus one. So it was either you or Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to make that decision. So if we can't all go and have fun, I don't want to go at all. So we had to find something else.
Mm. Should have been an easy decision. So,
Girl. We ended up having a great time for Halloween. That was so much fun as well.
Yeah, we went to a more like low-key party, but it was still like super fun. We went to my friend Sid and Olivia's place.
That you said that was a low-key party, but to me, like living
it was,
in Canada,
was
that
like,
was nice.
For it was low-key in the sense that like
it was not a rager.
It was not like famous people.
But like who cares about famous people?
No. I did not say it was bad. I said it was I literally said it was good. It was better.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it was not like a celebrity party.
No.
We went to like I mean I would say that like Sid and Olivia are like becoming celebrities, but like
they're really
at the
talented.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was a really good time. And then we went to go see I'm Glad My Mom Died with Jeanette McCurdy. And fun fact about I'm Glad My Mom Died. That was incredible. That was an incredible show.
I liked it.
And she's coming out with a book that I'm really excited to read. I wonder if it's just like basically the screenplay of the show made into a book.
It might be.
But that was really good. We met up with Julia.
I wish that she said hi to people after.
Yeah,
I understand why she didn't. I understand why she didn't, but like I wish she did.
I think it's just because well, first of all, COVID was weird at that time. It was at the transitional weird period. Yeah.
But also it's like fans, you know, they probably only want... Wait, oh my God. Scott's party was the same night as I think I'm glad my mom died.
You're right. Okay, so this is what happened.
You just told a lie. You just told us your story was a lie.
No, because we went from the shoot to your house, went through the traffic in Hollywood to the show. I remember because you got pissed in the traffic at this one. This one driver basically cut you off and it affected your mood the entire ride.
That is not true.
Okay.
No, because here's what happened. I remember it vividly.
Okay.
Because I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. I'm going to fix this. This like level is really high.
Okay.
Okay. Because I was driving. Okay. Mm-hmm. And one person cut me off.
Yeah.
And I got annoyed. And then you were like, why are you so annoyed?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like one. And I was like, I explained to you why I was annoyed.
I just
yes.
I wasn't like
yes,
I was,
that is what happened.
I wasn't like
that
Phoebe.
That is 100% what happened.
I wasn't like Phoebe Buffay. I was just like, hey, Larry, like it's cool. Like we just you can relax. It's like not that big a deal.
And I was like, don't tell me how to feel.
He literally.
So then
did.
I was mad at you. I wasn't mad at the driver. I was mad at you.
Were you really? No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
But don't tell me how to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know that scene from iCarly where she's like, "Don't tell a girl to calm down." You know that scene?
Who said that? Carly or Sam?
Carly.
Queen. But yeah, that was really fun. That was a really fun night. And then we went to that show. So I had like really no time.
That was one night.
In that evening.
So we've actually only hung out one time.
No, we didn't. We've done a lot of car rides. A lot of Raising Cane's where we drag you to 45 minutes away from the city.
I went to Raising Cane's one time.
And it was amazing.
And that was the same night that you cried on the couch. So we've hung out twice.
No, we haven't. The amount of times that you've invited me over just to watch Drag Race. I've never said no. I had maybe commitments, but I went to your apartment and we just like watched Drag Race and went to the grocery store and just got snacks.
Yeah.
Because of something else.
We
hung out a bunch. And since then, I feel like I want to talk about, I think what I like the most about hanging out with Larry is you teach me so much about being a gay. Like you teach me so many things because I have a really weird relationship with sexual orientation and I mm-hmm. always like hearing your take on things.
I just know a lot about gay culture, I think, mostly because of my friends.
But also you're very confident in your sexuality.
That is not true.
You're not. You come across as very confident.
It's a facade.
I mean... Same. Honestly, same. But no, I feel like you've taught me a lot of things. And now I think I have a better... How would you describe how you land on the spectrum at the moment? Because it's like always ever changing.
Well, what do you mean?
Because like, I feel like whenever, you know, somebody comes out as bi, I think bi... Like there's people who are like discrediting bisexual people a lot and that experience. And I think some people think, oh, they're just lying to themselves. Still, though...
But still a lot.
Still a lot.
Less than like when I discovered that I was bi.
I think so. But it's like some people are like, oh, it's just like the stepping stone before admitting you're gay or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been like pretty.
I've had gay people tell me that. Like you think that it's just like straight people that think that and then it's not true. I've had gay people, mostly gay men, tell me that. Oh, you're just like, you're going to be gay.
Yeah, I think I thought the same thing about gay people being racist. Like you would think a marginalized group wouldn't be, you know, discriminatory against another group. Yet queer people, I mean, I'm going to say gay men, especially white ones, are some of the most racist.
Well, like the queer space has historically been very dominated by white gay men.
True. Very true.
And I think now, like, it is starting to, people are starting to, like, really realize that that has been, like, a huge problem.
Yeah.
In, like, queer history. But, yeah. Like, I mean, there's that, like, that scene from Pose. Have you ever seen Pose?
I've seen episodes of Pose.
There's, like, a scene from Pose where, like, they try to go into, like, a gay bar and it's, like, a white gay bar and they get kicked out because they're, like, you're not white. One of us, even though they're, like, you know,
queer.
They're queer, but, that's, like, they're trans, you know, so they get kicked out.
That's effed up. That's so effed up. Yeah, there was a club near my apartment, actually, like, one of the only clubs near my apartment, and they kicked out gay people for being too gay at a bar.
This happened recently?
Like, 2-3 weeks ago.
And this is a straight bar?
I mean, it's a bar.
But it's a straight bar. Yeah. It's not a gay bar.
Yeah, by that, I think we have one here, to be honest.
See, I don't really go to straight bars.
I know.
No, that's not true. I will go to a straight bar. I don't go to a straight club. I don't like straight clubs.
I just,
because
all my friends are very like they work in constructions and they ride motorcycles. I mean, here in Quebec,
well, yeah.
Like, that's what they're, and I'm very fine with that. So, but yeah, I mean, still very present. But like, I think everybody has a different like definition of their sexuality. What is like, where do you think you land on that spectrum, and how do you like you know,
so
qualify
like,
it?
My actual like sexual orientation, I am like very 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like queer culture.
Yeah.
And I really I really feel like I like being part of queer culture, and I like I just like really believe in queer culture, and like, you know, things that like movies that are like really important to queer culture, like Legally Blonde or like Big Business or like, you know, like things like that, that are like sort of these like queer icon movies or like cultural, pop culture moments. Like,
yeah,
I totally like see those things and I understand those things. And I understand like why they are what they are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, my actual like, you know, orientation, like I do feel like very 50-50. I mean, sometimes it depends on the day. Like some days I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm not going out right now to like be interested in women. Do you know what I mean? Like, it, like I'm going out to the gay bar tonight. Like, and like, if, you know, I'm trying to like meet someone at the bar, like, which very rarely is what I'm trying to do when I go to a bar. But like, you know, if that's the case, like maybe tonight, like I'm just only interested in like men, or sometimes it's whatever, it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you like, you were like out to like personal friends and family around your life, and then you did it like in a public
way. Everybody in my life.
And then you did it in a public way, because you hadn't, I mean, I think you hadn't like hidden it, but it was just like not an explicit thing.
Yeah.
And then you ended up coming out. That was really cool. I think I've never like come out as anything. I still kind of am very like buffering.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good word? Okay, I will explain where I'm coming from, and maybe somebody out there can kind of see themselves in me, or maybe Larry, you might have some kind of like nuggets of thoughts on that. Okay. I am very emotionally attracted to women. So in general, the people that I feel the safest to, the safest with, the most comfortable with, the most authentic with are women, like generally. Most of my closest friends are women. And that's just like a recurring thing in my life. However, I am physically, like the anatomy of a man is what I typically am quote unquote drawn to. But that creates a lot of issues because I think like whenever we talk about like men and that side of things, I mean, I've been hurt by men a lot in my life. And I think there's a lot of competition with other men, like naturally, that I end up in this limbo where I find it hard to be in relationships, or I find it hard for them to line up. I find it hard to kind of like be physically and emotionally attracted to someone. And when I am, it's like, oh, that's like home run. But that's like super, super rare for both of them to line up perfectly. So that's always where I land. So I think it's like, I think queer is a good word to use because I kind of teeter. Yeah.
Well, but I feel like that emotional attraction to women is a very common like queer experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or at least for, let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
At least for men who are only sexually attracted to men. So like essentially gay men.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that is something that I've like heard a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that I've experienced a lot, or that I've seen other people experience a lot.
Right.
And I think that is, you know, I don't know. I don't really know why. I'm not a therapist or a psychologist in any way, but I don't claim that like, you know, I don't think that like your experience in that is
not valid
or like isolating. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like that is definitely like a common experience. And I don't think that, you know, I think we as a society like have a very warped understanding of like intimacy and like what intimacy means.
Yeah.
And like we assume that like if you are going to be intimate beyond a certain point with anybody, then like they need to be like your partner and you have to like marry them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like I think like friendships like are something that like we as a society are really, really bad at, which is like really,
that's like, the part I feel like I mastered. Like I feel like that's the part I've mastered in my life is friendship.
But then you feel like, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it mm-hmm. sounds like you're saying that like, oh, I'm like intimate with this person as a friend,
mm-hmm.
and I'm confused whether or not that is like attraction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, this is also tricky because all of my guy friends here are all very, very straight dudes. Not attracted to any of them.
Right.
Not at all. But they're my favorite people. Like 1,000%.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing.
I just feel like we are told very often, and this is like all people.
Yeah.
That like if we are, you know, in an intimate relationship with somebody, then it is more than friendship. And if you have an intimate relationship with someone and then you all, and they're your friend, and then you also have an intimate relationship with somebody that you have a physical relationship with, mm-hmm. then like you have to stop that intimate relationship with your friend because now you're in a relationship and the relationship is more important. And
it's like, so right.
You can love more than one person. That is true. That is a fact. Like,
yeah.
We as human beings are meant to love many people.
Yeah.
And some of those relationships might be physical and some might not, but that doesn't mean that like that love is different.
Yeah. And it doesn't undervalue one or the other.
And like we place so much emphasis on like, oh, well, I love this person, but I'm in love with this person. It's like there's no difference.
I think there is no difference. I think there's a difference between loving someone and being in love, because I think in love is a temporary thing. You know what I mean? I think being in love is a temporary state of being. I think after that, being in a relationship, I think that in love, initial butterfly kind of new thing
maybe
is quickly fleeting.
But I think the love that you feel with like a life partner
is the same as
the love that you feel with like some of your closest friends.
But you share a different, a more intense side of intimacy.
Not always.
I mean, I would qualify it as more intense intimacy, personally.
I mean, in a physical sense, but, like, not always. Like, I have friendships that are extremely intimate friendships, but, like, we're not physical.
Stop but talking like, about us.
Yeah. But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that that is, like, you know, if I were to, you know, start a relationship with somebody, like, I would not say that, like, that relationship was all of a sudden going to be more intimate than, like, my friendship that I've had for 10 years that's, like, extremely intimate and they know everything about me.
I think you're right. But like I said, I think it's a different type of intimacy. Some people, physical intimacy is something so, so, so private. Other people's not as much.
Yeah.
So I think it really just teeters on, like, how you quantify that physical intimacy with someone. But I think in terms of love, the feeling of being in love with someone when it's new and it's fast, I think is quantified as in love. It's quickly fleeting. And I think anything else, just like a friendship, you know, it's just like with ups and downs, and whatever that relationship develops to be, you just constantly and intentionally make the super aware choice every day to kind of just choose to still be in that person's life, which is a very thin margin between, you know, friendship and a relationship. I just think you share,
I just think
a different
they're so similar. I think that, like, if you have like emotionally intimate friendships, like, that can be so, so similar to, like, an emotionally intimate, like, relationship. And that's, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're often told that that is wrong. And
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I do not believe that. Like, I believe that you can have extremely emotionally intimate friendships and extremely emotionally intimate relationships, and they can coexist with, like, the right communication and with, like, the right people in your life that understand all of that. And, like, girl, if you have a boyfriend and he doesn't like your friends,
fuck that
move
boyfriend.
On.
Well, I think
that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. If that's the
I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I totally agree. I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of people just, like, slow down their lives for a relationship.
Yeah, I can never do that. I could never do that.
That's the thing, and I think that comes back to why it's hard for me to date, is because I won't slow down. Obviously, you're considering other factors, but the people in my life that I have right now, the friends, understand the pace and, like, what you're doing, and they're very okay with that, and they're encouraging in that. When the relationship, the romantic relationship, becomes a crutch to that, like, you're carrying something through life and it doesn't feel like we're doing, like, you know, side by side, we're doing our thing and going forward, I think that's where it becomes detrimental. Before, like, I do want to wrap this up in a bow. I feel like Larry and I
feel
could,
like, we've been going for, like, an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, we've been going on for, like, an hour and, yeah, about 20 minutes. The last thing I do want to touch on, which was, like, we got, like, a low-key viral tweet, Larry, because we both fall in love with the show Heartstopper, which, to me, was, like, I think, like, honestly, a life change. I know that's, like, a really heavy thing to say. To me, it was, like, a very, like, perspective-changing, life-changing experience for me to watch that show. And then when you hit me up and you were like, oh, my God, have you seen that show? I was like, let's talk about it. And we've briefly talked about it over DM. But I want to know why, you know, you're a part of a TV show that uplifts those kinds of stories. And I think there's a lot out there of stories that are in that same vicinity. But why do you think this show specifically is very unique? I want to hear your perspective. I want to share my perspective. And then we're going to wrap this up.
I think that Heartstopper does it without any caveats.
What does caveat mean?
Like, any sort of, like, okay, well, we're going to show the gay relationship, but it has to be like this.
Okay.
Like, they allow the relationship to be, like, messy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a way that's, like, truthful and honest and beautiful.
Yeah.
And they allow, you know, they display other kinds of relationships too that are not just, like, two men that are in a relationship, which I think American TV is very centered around gay men a lot of the time.
Very true.
Maybe less so now, but like certainly like in the past, it's been very centered around gay male relationships and, you know, in the queer space at least. Mm-hmm. And like, I love that Heartstopper shows, you know, a lesbian relationship, and it shows, you know, essentially a heterosexual relationship with a trans woman. You know what I mean?
So pretty. I love her.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and doesn't judge any of those relationships. And
I mean, they don't
in
diminish
a very,
it. That's one
yeah,
thing.
They don't diminish yeah. any mm-hmm. of the relationships. They don't qualify any of the relationships. They don't like, they don't try to make them anything other than what they are.
Yes, like
which
an
is
after school special.
A teenage relationship. They're yeah. teen relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not trying to make them like these like end all to be all, like, or whatever that phrase is, be all to end all like relationships. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not.
Have you read
perfect.
The books though? Because it's pretty end of be all.
I mean, I read like the ones that are like the first two that are like the first season, but I stopped after that.
Okay. I've read them all, like literally fell in love. I think that's a really good take on it. I've honestly been sitting a lot with it, even in therapy, on why I think that show kind of like pulled something out of me. And mm-hmm. I think to me it stems back to we're like in this like vicious cycle with mainstream media where mm-hmm. you know, the truth about queer culture is a lot of it is, you know, if you look at the queer content we have now, you know, apart from Heartstopper, push that aside, we have like Euphoria, you have, you know, Love, Victor, you have mm-hmm. what other queer shows are there? There's some stuff in Riverdale. Like, it's just like there's a lot, but it's, and then if you even look at like musicals or anything, like you'll have like Rent, and you'll have mm-hmm. if you look at Tick, Tick, Boom, the storyline with a queer character, it's very grim. It's very mm-hmm. like look at like Euphoria with Jules, who's, you know, claiming to be of age on hookup dating apps and then
yeah
hooking up with men twice her age just to be like some sort of fetish. And I think that is not like so far off from what gay culture is, and that's like a really scary and sad side of it.
Yeah, but like people in high school, I mean, maybe some people in high school are doing that, but like that is not the majority
That's
of like
the
high
majority.
School queer experiences.
Oh, absolutely not. But it's not too far off. And I think if you grow up or if you discover like what you identify as at a young age and you seek out that sort of content and that's what's being catered to you, I do think
yeah.
it kind of...
It's a cycle.
It diminishes your experience and it makes you feel like, oh, maybe the only way I have value in the queer space is if, like, mm-hmm. I'm just a body. I'm just, you know, a hookup toy. I need to look a certain yeah. way. Otherwise, I'm, like, not desirable. Gay culture
no,
is
but-
drugs, alcohol, everything in between. But I do want to get to the part where I think if those generations grow up on that and then they grow up, they make their own TV shows, they feed into that culture, and it just becomes, like, a trending cycle. With Heartstopper, it's just... They strip everything down to the purity of what it's like to have your first crush and having that
yep.
love and complicity just be so effortless and so scary because it's so fast and so deep. And I don't think there's anything as pure as someone's first love.
But like, it's a high school relationship. Like, that is all that it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that
for
is
sure.
beautiful.
For absolutely.
Like that, I'm saying that's what makes it. That's what makes it special, because it's not trying to be like, you know, this larger thing about like
yeah.
rights or anything like that. It's like
it's stripped down.
Actually, like, this is what representation
is.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
It is like, this is like the beautiful like teenage love story that it is. And yeah, it's with two boys or, you know, two girls or. You know,
yeah,
a boy and a girl, whatever's in the show, you know, but like that's not, you know, it's not trying to be anything that it's not, if that makes sense.
I mean, I 1,000% agree. And I think, like, I really encourage you to read the books, because once I finished the series, I, first of all, cried like a baby, because, I mean, I
love the origin of it. Like, I love that it came from
Alice,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, something that was really this kind of, like,
treasured little
path
thing. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that had its own, like, cult following.
For sure.
And then, you know, they were not told that they had to change anything.
Yeah, it was. It
it's
was just
pretty
perfect.
Like
they did change
it's like
things.
Shot for shot.
They did. They did.
I mean,
change
they changed
things.
A couple yeah. of things, but that was like, you know, Alice Oseman's like, I want to deepen this.
Oh, absolutely.
But like the key moments are like shot for shot from the book, which is like amazing.
I think what like I really
it's
encourage
a, just
you,
a great adaptation.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you should really like go in and read the other books, because for me, I was sobbing like a little baby after watching, because I think it does kind of spread a message even to like teens or parents or even people in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it has like that melancholic feeling, is because a lot of people are like, what if these queer kids are, they're okay, like they're fine, like they're they'll be just fine, and having that
they are just fine,
they're just fine. And I having that messaging, I think, is what made it so melancholic, that some of the older, you know, queer people haven't had that sort of representation. But even if you read like through the books, you know, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't read the books, but they dive into really deep and sentimental and very hard things to go through as a queer couple. And you see mm-hmm. these two people constantly choosing each other, and all the other couples on the show constantly choose each other. And, you know, the shared sentiment of like Charlie feeling like when, you know, when he was outed, that maybe the world would be better off without him, and having like the people in his life tell him like, no, like our life is so much better because you're in it. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a really beautiful, beautiful show. I can't talk too much about it because I will get misty eyed, but it's a very beautiful show. I will wrap up today's episode. This was so
Yay.
Much fun. This was so much fun. We need to do this more
often. I had fun.
This is so much fun. Way better yeah. than what I did before. Way better.
Great. Well, I'm glad you like it.
I like it very much. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. The next one will kind of be in the same vicinity, where it's just like a really conversational and no topic is off the table, and we just have a good time. And yeah, I hope you stick around for the next one, because I had a lot of fun. And yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Thanks, Larry, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And... Thank you.